بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. We continue the discussion by Sheikh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah concerning the correct response to those who altered the religion of Jesus alayhi salam. Last time we talked about the acceptance of Islam by the great king of Abyssinia. Currently Ethiopia, and he was a Christian, and this occurred following the migration of persecuted Muslims who left Mecca to his land. So therefore from that we learn that the message of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam transcends the Arabs, and he was a Christian. So we continue now into a new chapter, the acceptance of Islam by some of the Christian Arabs. The acceptance of Islam by some of the Christian Arabs. In the early time of revelation, when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam encountered the great angel Jibril, Gabriel, we know that he sallallahu alaihi wasallam informed his wife Khadija, the daughter of Khuwaylid al-Qurashiyya, from the tribe of Quraysh, Umm al-Mu'mineen, the mother of the believers. Khadija, in the time of Jahiliyyah, she was known as At-Tahira. At-Tahira meaning the pure one. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam married her when she was 40. And he had from her all of his children except Ibrahim. He had from her Al-Qasim, Zainab, Fatima, Ruqayya, Umm Kulthum. And she was the first to believe in Allah and His Messenger and to attest in the truth and believe in what she was informed by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam concerning the revelation he received from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when she got the news from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, she discussed it and she took it to a great scholar from the scholars of the Christians known as Waraqa bin Nawfal. And he was from the Arabs who accepted Islam. He was from the Arabs who turned into Christianity, accepted Christianity that time. So when he heard what she told him concerning her husband, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he هذا الناموس الذي نزل الله على موسى. This is the same one who keeps the secrets, meaning the angel Gabriel, whom Allah had sent to Musa, Musa ibn Imran. Ya laytani fiha jadha'a, I wish I were young. Laytani akunu hayyan idh yukhrijuka qawmuk. No, Khadija was not a Christian. You came late. This is Waraqa bin Nawfal. I wish I were young and could live up to the time when your people would turn you out. Would turn you out. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Awa mukhriji ya hum, will they drive me out? He said, yes, لم يأتي رجل قط بمثل ما جئت به إلا عودي. He replied in the affirmative and said, anyone, any man who came with something similar to what you have brought was treated with hostility. وَأَنْ يُدْرِكْنِي يَوْمُكَ أَنْصُرْكَ نَصْرًا مُؤَزَّرًا. And if I should remain alive till the day when you will be turned out, then I would support you strongly. This is one situation. So Waraqa bin Nawfal believed in the message of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. Another thing, a group from the people of the book, from the Christians, also came to Mecca. And they believed in the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his message. And the mushriks, the pagans, harmed them. But they were patient. And Allah revealed concerning them the following verses from Surah Al-Qasas 28, verses 52 to 55. الذين آتيناهم الكتاب من قبله هم به يؤمنون وإذا يتلى عليهم قالوا آمنا به إنه الحق من ربنا إنا كنا من قبله مسلمين أولئك يؤتون أجرهم مرتين بما صبروا ويدرؤون بالحسنة السيئة ومما رزقناهم ينفقون وإذا سمعوا اللغو أعرضوا عنه وقالوا لنا أعمالنا ولكم أعمالكم سلام عليكم لا نبتغي الجاهلين. Those to whom we gave the scripture before it, they believe in it, the Quran. And when it is recited to them, they say, we believe in it, verily it is the truth from our Lord. Indeed, even before it, we have been those who submit themselves to Allah in Islam as Muslims. These will be given their reward twice over. They will be given their reward twice over because they are patient and repel evil with good and spend in charity out of what we have provided them. And when they hear al-laghu, dirty, false, evil, vain talk, they withdraw from it and say, to us our deeds and to you your deeds, peace be to you, we seek not the ignorant. So when the Quran was recited to them, they cried, and then they submitted and believed. And they knew from what they heard that which they already knew from the descriptions in their books regarding the matter and the affair of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And when the time of the Treaty of Al-Hudaybiyah, the treaty which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had with the pagans of Quraysh, he sallallahu alaihi wasallam sent his delegates, his messengers to all the people from different religions. Arsal ila Nasara, he sent to the Christians of Asham, of greater Syria and also of Egypt. And he sent to Heraqal, Malik al-Rum, the king of the Christians, Heracles in the greater Syria area. And at that time there was the conflict between the Christians and the Persians. In the beginning of their conflicts earlier, the Majus, the Magians, defeated the Christians at first. And this was at the early stages of the advent of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam's message while he was in Mecca, and his followers were few in number. So the mushriks then were pleased. The mushriks, the pagans, were pleased for the defeat of the Christians by the Magians. Why? Because they are closer to the Magians in terms of the creed than to the people of the book. And the Muslims were disturbed by that. Why? Because the people of the book are closer to them. So the Prophet, then Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, the companion of the Prophet, the great companion, Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, came to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam and informed him concerning the defeat of the Christians by the Magians. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed the following verses from Surah Ar-Rum, chapter 30, verse 1 to 5. Alif Lam Mim, غلبت الروم في أدنى الأرض وهم من بعد غلبهم سيغلبون في بضع سنين لله الأمر من قبل ومن بعد ويومئذ يفرح المؤمنون بنصر الله. Alif Lam Mim, the Romans have been defeated. In the nearer land, Syria, Iraq, Jordan, and Palestine. And they, after their defeat, will be victorious. Listen to this carefully. And this is, now, this is from the matters of what? Of the unseen with respect to the Prophet ﷺ. Allah is telling him that they, after their defeat, will be victorious. Did the Prophet ﷺ know about this? Who's telling him about that? Question now. Who's telling him, who's informing him that after their defeat, they will be victorious? Question? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, naam. Yes. Within 3 to 9 years, bid'a sinin. The decision of the matter before and after these events is only with Allah. Before the defeat of Romans by the Persians and after, meaning the defeat of the Persians by Romans, all is in the hands of Allah. And on that day, the believers, the Muslims, will rejoice at the victory given by Allah to the Romans against the Persians. With the help of Allah, He helps whom He wills, and He is Almighty, the Most Merciful. Now, so this is, or this information, this piece of information is from the matters which the Prophet ﷺ told before it happened, right? And it exactly came as he told about it. And when Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu, when his companion Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, may Allah be pleased with him, informed that in the near future, 3 to 9 years, the Romans will defeat the Persians. Who belied him? Question. Who belied him? Who belied him? Yes, Quraysh, the pagans. The pagans, yes, they belied him. And they mocked at him. And he said, La wallah, no by Allah. But this is the word of Allah, he said. Then they said, we shall see if that will happen. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as he told, within less than 9 years, the Romans defeated the Persians. When that occurred, many from the mushriks submitted to Allah. Many of the mushriks submitted to Allah following this. Why did the pagans, why were they pleased for the victory of the Persians in the first place? Because they were closer to them. They both denied the resurrection, and they both were people of idol and image worshipping. And why, on the other hand, the Muslims, Wherefore, on the opposite side of this position, they were not happy for the defeat of the Christians, because they were people of the book. They were people of the book, people of prophethood, and believing in the resurrection. And that's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed, وَيَوْمَ إِذِي يَفْرَحُ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ بِنَصْرِ اللَّهِ. And on that day the believers, the Muslims, will rejoice at the victory given by Allah to the Romans against the Persians. Heraclius, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave Heraclius the victory over the Persians, he walked on his foot as an expression of thanks and gratitude to Allah, from Homs to Bayt al-Maqdis. Homs is in the land of the Sham. It is close to Damascus, to the west of Damascus. And Bayt al-Maqdis is Jerusalem. He walked when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him victory over the Persians. There, the letter came to him from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, inviting him to Islam, after Allah gave the people of the book, in this case the Romans, the victory over the Persians. And the Prophet ﷺ rejoiced together with the believers. He went to Jerusalem in order to pray, and he prayed there. There he received the letter of invitation to Islam from the Prophet ﷺ, sent with Yuhya al-Kalbi, may Allah be pleased with him, inviting Heraclius to Islam. And in this letter it read, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, in the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Most Merciful, from Muhammad, Abdullah wa Rasulihi, the slave of Allah and His Messenger, ila Hiraql Azim al-Rum, to Heraclius, the great of the Romans. فَإِنِّي أَدْعُوكَ بِدِعَايَةِ الْإِسْلَامِ. I invite you to Islam. أَسْلِمْ تَسْلَمْ. If you become a Muslim, you will be safe. يُؤْتِكَ اللَّهُ أَجْرَكَ مَرَّتَيْنِ. And Allah will double your reward. فَإِنْ تَوَلَّيْتَ فَإِنَّ عَلَيْكَ إِثْمَ الْأَرِيسِيِّينَ. And if you reject this invitation of Islam, you will be committing a sin by misguiding your Arisiyin, your peasants. And the Prophet ﷺ cited the verse of Allah, يَا أَهْلَ الْكِتَابِ تَعَالَوْا إِلَى كَلِمَةٍ سَوَاءٍ بَيْنَنَا وَبَيْنَكُمْ أن لا نعبد إلا الله ولا نشرك به شيئا ولا يتخذ بعضنا بعضا أربابا من دون الله فإن تولوا فقولوا اشهدوا بأننا مسلمون. O people of the scripture, come to a word that is just between you and us, that we worship none but Allah, and that we associate no partners with Him, and that none of us shall take others as lords besides Allah. Then if they turn away, say, bear witness that we are Muslims. And this is in Surah Al-Imran, verse 64. Now, this is what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam wrote to the great of the Romans, Heraclius, at this time. And in the story of Heraclius, there are great lessons to learn. and it's important. And Shaykh al-Islam rahimahullah related the story of Heraclius in full, and in the hadith, as in Sahih al-Bukhari, the hadith of Abdullah bin Abbas, and also in Sahih Muslim. We know of Abu Sufyan. Abu Sufyan then was still a mushrik, a disbeliever. Abu Sufyan bin Harb informed Ibn Abbas. He said, he informed me that Heraclius had sent a messenger to him while he had been accompanying a caravan from Quraysh. Listen carefully to the story now, and we'll give you the reference in Sahih al-Bukhari, so we can follow step by step, segment by segment. 1:6. So Abu Sufyan, you know, after he became a Muslim, he told the story to Ibn Abbas, was telling the story to Ibn Abbas. He told him that Heraclius had sent a messenger to him, to Abu Sufyan, while he had been accompanying a caravan from Quraysh. From Quraysh, meaning they were pagans. They were merchants doing business in Asham, the greater Syria area, Syria, Palestine, Lebanon, and Jordan. At the time when Allah's Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam had a truce with Abu Sufyan and Quraysh infidels. Yes. So he was making this journey to Asham. So Abu Sufyan and his companions went to Heraclius at Elia. Elia is Jerusalem. Heraclius called them in the court, and he had all the senior Roman dignitaries around him. He called for his translator, who, translating Heraclius' question, said to them, "Listen carefully. Who amongst you is closely related to that man who claims to be a prophet?" You see, he wants to get reliable information, isn't it? You agree? You see that? Who amongst you is closely related to that man who claims to be a prophet? Abu Sufyan is a relative, you know, is a relative of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Abu Sufyan replied, "I am the nearest relative to him. I am the nearest relative." So Heraclius said, "Bring him." Abu Sufyan, meaning to him, "close to me, and make his companions stand behind him." Abu Sufyan added, "Heraclius told his translator to tell my companions that he wanted to put some questions to me regarding that man, the Prophet ﷺ, and that if I told a lie, they, my companions, should contradict me." See that? Abu Sufyan added, "By Allah, had I not been afraid of my companions labeling me a liar, I would not have spoken the truth about the Prophet." You see that? You see that? The first question he asked me about him was, "What is his family status amongst you? What is his family status amongst you?" I replied, "He belongs to a good noble family amongst us." Heraclius further asked, "Has anybody amongst you ever claimed the same to be a prophet before him?" I replied, "No." He said, "Was anybody amongst his ancestors a king?" Record these questions now. Record them in your memory and put a note it would be better. Record these questions. He said, "Was anybody amongst his ancestors a king?" I replied, "No." Heraclius asked, "Do the nobles or the poor follow him?" I replied, "It is the poor who follow him." He said, "Are his followers increasing, decreasing, day by day?" I replied, "They are increasing." He then asked, does anybody amongst those who embrace his religion become displeased and renounce the religion afterwards? I replied, no. Heraclius said, have you ever accused him of telling lies before his claim to be a prophet? Look at this question. I replied, no. Please, look at this question. Put one, please. Heraclius said, have you ever accused him of telling lies before his claim to be a prophet? Isn't this a profound question? Have you ever accused him of telling lies before his claim to be a prophet? I replied, no. You know, he was known as what? The trustworthy to them. Heraclius said, does he break his promises? I replied, no. We are at truce with him, but we don't know what he will do in it. I could not find opportunity to say anything against him except that. Look at this. Look at this. He was trying, but it was difficult. We are at truce with him, but we don't know what he will do in it. And I could not find opportunity to say anything against him except that. Okay. Then Heraclius asked, have you ever had a war with him? Have you ever had a war with him? I replied, yes. Then he said, what was the outcome of the battles? I replied, sometimes he was victorious and sometimes we. Heraclius said, what does he order you to do? I said, he tells us to worship Allah and Allah alone, and not to worship anything along with him, and to renounce all that our ancestors had said. He orders us to pray, to speak the truth, to be chaste, and to keep good relations with our kith and kin. Strong summary, right? Heraclius asked the translator to convey to me the following. I asked you about his family, and your reply was that he belonged to a noble family. In fact, all the messengers come from noble families among their respective peoples. This is one, right? You see that? In fact, all the messengers come from noble families amongst their respective peoples. This is one, isn't it? I questioned you whether anybody else amongst you claimed such a thing. Your reply was in the negative. If the answer had been in the affirmative, I would have thought this man was following the previous man's statement. Yeah. Then I asked you whether anyone of his ancestors was a king. And your reply was in the negative. And if it had been in the affirmative, I would have thought that this man wanted to take back his ancestral kingdom. You see that? Power. You see that? I further asked whether he was ever accused of telling lies before he said what he said. And your reply was in the negative. So I wondered how a person who does not tell a lie about others could ever tell a lie about Allah. Allahu Akbar. I wondered how a person who does not tell a lie about others could ever tell a lie about Allah. I then asked you whether the rich people followed him or the poor. You replied that it was the poor who followed him. And in fact, all the messengers have been followed by this very class of people. Very class of people. The poor ones. Then I asked you whether his followers were increasing or decreasing. You replied that they were increasing. And in fact, this is the way of true faith. Till it is complete in all respects. You replied that they were increasing. And in fact, this is the way of true faith, till it is complete in all respects. I further asked you whether there was anybody who, after embracing his religion, became displeased and discarded his religion. And your reply was in the negative, and in fact this is the sign of a true faith. When its delight enters the hearts and mixes with them completely. Allahu Akbar. Your reply was in the negative, and in fact this is the sign of a true faith. When its delight enters the hearts and mixes with them completely. I asked you whether he had ever betrayed. You replied in the negative, and likewise the messenger, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, never betray. The messenger never betray. Then I asked you what he ordered you to do. You replied that he ordered you to worship Allah and Allah alone, and not to worship anything along with him, and forbade you to worship idols, and ordered you to pray, to speak the truth, and to be chaste. If what you have said is true, he will verily soon occupy this place underneath my feet. And I knew it, meaning from the scriptures, that he was going to appear. But I did not know that he would be from you. And if I could reach him definitely, I would go immediately to meet him. And if I were with him, I would certainly wash his feet. Allahu Akbar. If what you have said is true, he will verily soon occupy this place underneath my feet. And I knew it from the scriptures that he was going to appear. But I did not know that he would be from you. And if I could reach him definitely, I would go immediately to meet him. And if I were with him, I would certainly wash his feet. Heraclius then asked for the letter addressed by Allah's messenger, which was delivered by Dihya to the governor of Busra, who forwarded it to Heraclius to read. And the contents of the letter were as follows. In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful. This letter is from Muhammad, the slave of Allah and his messenger, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to Heraclius, the ruler of Byzantine. Peace be upon him who follows the right path. Furthermore, I invite you to Islam, and if you become a Muslim, you will be safe, and Allah will double your reward. And if you reject this invitation of Islam, you will be committing a sin by misguiding your peasants. And I recite to you Allah's words. The translation of the meaning, O people of the scripture, come to a word common to you and us, that we worship none but Allah, and we associate no partners with him in worship, nothing in worship with him, and that none of us shall take others as lords besides Allah. Then if they turn away, say, bear witness that we are Muslims, those who surrender to Allah. And after he finished reciting reading the letter, when Heraclius had finished his speech and had read the letter, there was a great hue and cry in the royal court. So we were turned out of the court. I told my companions that the question of Ibn Abu Kabsha, meaning the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, that was they nicked him, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, has become so prominent. And even the king of Bani al-Asfar, meaning the Byzantine, is afraid of him. Then I started to become sure that he, the Prophet, would be the conqueror in the near future, till I embraced Islam. Allah guided me to it. Now, sub-narrator adds, Ibn al-Natur was the governor of Jerusalem, and Heraclius was the head of the Christians of the greater Syria. Ibn al-Natur narrates that once while Heraclius was visiting Jerusalem, he got up in the morning with a sad mood. Some of the priests asked him why he was in that mood. Heraclius was a foreteller and an astrologer. He replied, "At night, when I looked at the stars, I saw that the leader of those who practice circumcision had appeared, become the conqueror." "Who are they who practice circumcision?" the people replied. "Except the Jews, nobody practices circumcision, so you should not be afraid of them," the Jews. "Just issue orders to kill every Jew present in the country." While they were discussing it, a messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم, sent by the king of Ghassan to convey the news of Allah's messenger to Heraclius was brought in. Having heard the news, he, Heraclius, ordered the people to go and see whether the messenger of Ghassan was circumcised. The people, after seeing him, told Heraclius that he was circumcised. Heraclius then asked him about the Arabs. The messenger replied, "Arabs also practice circumcision." The messenger replied, "Arabs also practice circumcision." So he knew that the Arabs also practice circumcision. After hearing that, Heraclius remarked that sovereignty of the Arabs had appeared. Heraclius then wrote a letter to his friend in Rome, who was as good as Heraclius in knowledge. Heraclius then left for Homs, which is the town in Syria, and stayed there till he received the reply of his letter, from his friend, who agreed with him in his opinion about the emergence of the Prophet and the fact that he was a Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. On that, Heraclius invited all the heads of the Byzantines to assemble in his palace at Homs. When they assembled, he ordered that all the doors of his palace be closed. Then he came out and said, "O Byzantines, if success is your desire, and if you seek right guidance and want your empire to remain, then give the pledge of allegiance to this Prophet and to embrace Islam." On hearing the views of Heraclius, the people ran towards the gates of the palace like onagers, but found the doors closed. Heraclius realized their hatred towards Islam, and when he lost the hope of their embracing Islam, he ordered that they should be brought back in audience. When they returned, he said, What already said was just to test the strength of your conviction, and I have seen it." The people prostrated before him and became pleased with him, and this was the end of Heraclius' story in connection with his faith. So he could not oppose them. So he stayed on their religion, even though he knew the truth. And Shaykh al-Islam rahimahullah said that Heraclius was from the most noble of the Christian kings in that time, and that more than one informed that this letter is still available with the offspring of Heraclius in a prestigious place which they inherit from one another, and that more than one informed that this letter is still with the Fons, the sixth Fons, the son of Ferdinand, and he is a ruler in Andalusia, in Andalus, and they are proud of this letter up till the time when Sheikh al-Islam rahimahullah informed about this. So therefore, what is the conclusion from this segment or this chapter we have covered so far? Question is for you. What's the conclusion now we learn from this part, which is now part 15 in the series of the correct response to those who altered the religion of Jesus alayhi salam? What is the point that Shaykh al-Islam rahimahullah was making from this discussion so far? The question is to you. Put one, please. "The disbeliever knew the truth about Islam. The call of Islam extended beyond the Arabs." That's the point, that the call of Islam extended beyond the Arabs, and and these were Christians, right? the Byzantines and their leader, these were Christians. So from here also, still Sheikh al-Islam is arguing that the Prophet ﷺ was not only sent to the Arabs, but to all mankind, Christians, Jews, and anyone else. And we will learn more, inshallah, in the next chapter. Concerning the message of the Prophet ﷺ to the king of Egypt, Al-Muqawqis, in Alexandria. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad, wa ala alihi wa sahbihi, wa sallama taslima kathira.